If you follow Formula One, you'll probably recognise the name of Alan van der Merwe. He's not a Formula One driver. Well, he is, because he drives the Formula One medical car, if and when it is needed. And he is accepting that his work is going to be restricted. He might even lose his job completely because he does not want to take the vaccine. He's been driving the medical car at Grand Prix since 2009, missed the most recent race in Turkey because he had been COVID infected for the second time. And he says, I'm not going to have the vaccine. He says, for the avoidance of doubt, if you want to get vaccinated, do it. I'm pro-vaccine for those that want and can have them. A difference of opinion is absolutely fine in the point of a discussion, and then responding to personal attacks on him, which are completely unacceptable. Hate, racism, personal attacks, being told I will hopefully die, trying to get me fired, etc., will just get you blocked. I'll continue to adhere to public health guidelines, reduce risk as much as possible. Sorry, Alan, you haven't been too successful with that. You've been infected twice, and I'll respect others' decisions equally. And I agree, there doesn't need to be hate involved with every discussion about masks or vaccines. He doesn't say why he doesn't want to get vaccinated. But he accepts that this stance will mean that there are countries to which he will not be able to go. And as a result of that, the Formula One authorities might say to him, Alan, we do need somebody who can drive the car at every race in the race calendar. So sorry and goodbye. And he says, I accept that as a possible risk. Professor John Foster Pedley joins us now, director of the Henley Business School Africa. John, you wrote about this on the Daily Maverick yesterday, vaccinations and compulsory vaccinations and the workplace, and the Formula One medical car is a workplace. I mean, what's your response to hearing that story?
Well, you know, in South Africa, we have a constitutional right to refuse vaccination on the freedom of belief and opinion in Section 13 of the Constitution. So Alan has a right to do that, but we also have a right not to be around him or to have him in our workplace. So if he's not going to get vaccinated, and he's going to obviously have a higher risk of infection and of infecting others, and we may have grandparents or people at risk or mothers and mother-in-laws or whoever and colleagues, then that's fine. He doesn't have to do that. It's a pity. I enjoy Formula One a lot, and I've enjoyed seeing him drive around with that medical car. But I'm certainly not going to sit in the car with him if he's not vaccinated, because that's my right and your right and everybody else's right to protect ourselves.
Your view is that companies should try and accommodate people who are vaccine hesitant as much as they can. So if somebody can continue to work as productively and efficiently from home, then that person should be allowed to do so.
Well, I think that's only fair at some point, at one point, in terms of the in terms of employment rights. But I see no reason why a rational person wouldn't get vaccinated. And certainly, I'm very much in support of companies that insist that they have vaccination for their people who do face-to-face or teaching or healthcare roles, etc. It makes absolutely no sense to me not to. The president has asked us to do this. The CDC states and the data that's coming out is irrefutable in terms of the effect and the protection offered not only to yourself but to other people by vaccination. So I think we have at this very dangerous time, we have a citizen duty to do what we can to help each other by getting vaccinated. So if somebody doesn't want to get vaccinated in our organization, we'll do our best. If they can't, in the end of the day, they can't do their job because of that, we're not going to say they can come back on the premises or be at a place where they can be more risk to others. And it's true that in the end, their job might be compromised, but we'll do everything to avoid that. But everybody else who's getting vaccinated, we will encourage back in the workplace. We want to have, for example, at Henley, the safest campus in Africa, if we can. And I hope lots of other people do that, because our students, the executives who come to us, our staff, the lecturers, they all have a right to be in a safe environment and to be around other people that have the same ideas about protecting themselves and others.
Alan van der Merwe goes on to say, John, that he has had COVID twice, and that provides immunity to him. And I am reading more and more. Look, I mean, as we know, the science is developing, it is unfolding. Not every study which comes out says exactly the same thing as the other. But it does seem as if surviving a COVID-19 infection confers at least some immunity. Some studies say as much as, some studies say even more than a vaccination. And he says, why is the immunity which has been conferred upon me by surviving COVID not recognized, as it is in some EU member states and other places around the world where you can travel or go into restaurants or go into galleries if you've had a negative PCR test, been vaccinated or survived COVID in the last 6 months? Is that something that workplaces in South Africa should be adding into the discussion? Okay, you don't want to be vaccinated, but you did survive COVID 2 months ago, so for at least 4 months you can come back onto the premises, or whatever the time frame turns out to be.
For that, I'd be guided by medical advice. And the latest research I've seen that the Pfizer and the other vaccines actually end up providing more protection, it seems, than the natural immunity. Others would say different. But if you looked at the front page of The Guardian or international news today about what's happening in the UK, there's a study that's come out that says the UK's government response to COVID was deeply flawed. Now, if you say, well, everybody can get COVID, develop immunity, then a lot of people get COVID and you may get immunity. You've got to get some people at 66% with the Delta variant, about 85% of people have to have that. Now, we in our organization, we've lost about 25 students and alumni, and of 80 staff, we had 40, probably 50, close family members of staff die. Now, if vaccine had been available then, instead of 40, we would have lost 5, or maybe a couple more. And that's a lot of people to save. So while you're going around saying, yes, I can get COVID, you're catching it and you're sharing it with people. Your risk of getting it is way higher. And your risk of transmitting it to other people is therefore way higher. I don't want to be particularly around people with that philosophy because I know they're risky people to be around. You know, why not have a vaccine? Why not keep yourself and others protected? You've probably got something like a 90-85% coming down to 60-50% over time from the Pfizer in terms of protection. But on top of that, you've got a 90% protection, according to the latest data, of getting of dying. And there's a study of 22 million people in France that came out today saying that the protection from the vaccination is absolutely irrefutable. Something like I've just said, about 80-85% protection from getting it and a 90% less chance of dying when you have got it. So it makes huge sense from the public, managing public mass number of people to encourage and require people. It's not as if we've never been vaccinated before. You know, there are 11 countries in Europe that require that mandatory vaccination for people. You don't have a choice. You know, South Africa used to have mandatory vaccination for the BCG. We also still have the legislation in place to allow mandatory vaccination for the populace to happen, should it be required. I'm not saying they should do that. But the point is, this isn't something new. You know, we don't let people smoke in the workplace. We have to have yellow fever when we go somewhere else. I can't see why we've got to make such an issue of having a vaccination when it benefits so, so many people, particularly in a country where so many people are already on a breadline and are vulnerable. You know, they're immune compromised. So why must me, with my privileged background, or whatever, say, no, I've had it? Why must I walk around spreading the risk when those people have so much challenge already? Let's get together, keep people safe, and build the country.
Professor John Foster Pedley, thanks very much for talking to us. Director of the Henley Business School Africa.